You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
I am not particularly proud of coercive interrogation. The question of what, if any, role that should play in the development of successes like this is a very hard one. My only strong feeling about it is it's a question that we shouldn't shrink from and that we should be willing to confront very directly.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, the Bin Laden impact on the detainee interrogation debate.
The intelligence that led to the discovery of Osama bin Laden in Pakistan was painstakingly gathered over years, and much of it resulted from aggressive interrogation tactics used on detainees both at Guantanamo Bay and in CIA prisons around the globe. In the aftermath of the bin Laden operation, arguments for and against brutal interrogations are in play. Senior fellow Benjamin Wittitz takes a closer look.
Well, Ben, interrogation as part of the intelligence gathering process can be a long-term thing, and that's been made especially clear in this case with Osama bin Laden.
If this shows nothing, it shows that you don't know when you're collecting information what's going to turn out to be valuable, and that really stresses the importance of having a serious regime of collection of this sort of material and analyzing it in a serious way over time and an ongoing way over long periods of time, because turns out that the stuff that you learn in 2003 and is really important to identifying where Osama bin Laden is going to turn out to be in 2011.
Ben, arguably there is a case to be made for strategic interrogation.
There have been a lot of people over the years who have been very disparaging of the idea that you develop very significant intelligence through the interrogations of large numbers of detainees over time at places like Guantanamo. I think that disparagement was always wrong, and this is a very good example of this. So what this seems to of its wrongness. What this seems to be is an example of exactly what the intelligence community and the military always said it was doing, which is, interrogating people over time, developing bits and pieces of information that you can then put together in a mosaic that draws a picture that you don't necessarily know what the picture is going to look like at any point in the process, but you create databases, you create different fields through which you can look at this information, and you develop actionable things out of that at different points in time that you may have no idea what you're developing when you do. And this is a very good illustration of the importance of that kind of strategic interrogation of both high-value and low-value detainees over time.
Well, the U.S. action against Osama bin Laden illustrates another aspect of interrogation, and that's tactics used to gather information.
It's clear that some of the information probably came from the CIA's secret prisons program. And that does raise the question of what the added value of that program is, but it doesn't answer that question, because critics of harsh interrogation tactics can always say, well, this is information that would have developed anyway, right? It's very hard to show that you got any individual piece of information because of the use of any particular tactic. But I do think it does pose the question of whether that program added value and whether the tactics in that program added value, which is a question about which a lot of people have made very strong assertions one direction or another, but we actually have very little good data.
Ben, you say there are moral and legal questions that have to be raised when talking about interrogation techniques. But should those questions be weighed against the value of the information that's ultimately received?
I do think it's wrong to claim vindication for the program based on anything that has developed so far. But I do think it raises the question of whether we have been too quick to dismiss the value of a program like this, or the value of a program that involves some elements of what they were doing. I mean, you don't have to go all the way to waterboarding, right? But that allows more than what would be allowed in a conventional military detention environment.
What are the grounds for opposing harsh interrogation techniques?
There are many reasons to oppose it. There are moral reasons, there are legal reasons, there are public image reasons. You know, it's and there's also the fact that it's by no means clear, as I've stressed, that this is evidence, material, data that you wouldn't have gotten under a less coercive program. And so, you know, the fact that there was valuable material comes out of that program is the beginning of the conversation, not the end of the conversation. And it's a perfectly plausible judgment that, yes, if it turns out that very valuable information came out that was material to what developed out of the coercive elements of this program, it's a perfectly plausible hypothesis that you would have gotten it anyway. And so I don't think this necessarily should change anybody's mind. I do think it raises a question that we should be thinking about in a serious way.
Ben, you argue that the CIA and the military should be allowed to do different things when you're talking about interrogation techniques. Explain that for me, please.
I've argued for years now that this is a very hard question and we shouldn't duck it, that there are... I mean, my basic position is that and has been since I wrote Law and the Long War, is that the CIA should probably have more latitude to engage in sort of low and mid-grade coercion than the military does. That a different group of rules for CIA interrogators is certainly appropriate, in my view. I'm not comfortable with the extreme end that I'm not comfortable with waterboarding or with particularly, you know, the tactic that people don't talk about as much, but which actually bothers me more, is the longest of long-term sleep deprivation, which I think gets really quite ugly. So I think the extreme end of the tactics that they were engaged in, you know, make me very uncomfortable, and I would love to think that we don't need to do that. But I do think there should be greater latitude in the CIA program than in the military.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, or iPad, go to brookings.edu/mobile.